It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Donald Trump, if they go according to the printed schedule, will be inaugurated this hour. The oath of office is estimated to come at about 11:45, followed by the inaugural address, which we will carry live. For those of you who are listening to the Trump voters who called in just before the news, who are not Trump voters yourself and who have a sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach today, and you thought your head was going to explode listening to some of those callers and the things that they had to say, now it's your turn, as we will preview the Women's March on Washington taking place tomorrow and the one right here in the city. And joining us now are Catherine Simionko, chair of the Women's March on New York City, and none other than Rosie Perez, artist and community activist. Kat, welcome. Rosie, welcome back to WNYC. And listeners, if you're going to attend either march tomorrow in New York City or in Washington, call and tell us why you're going. There's been some conversation about mixed messages, vague messages. You get to deliver your message to the public right now if you want to call and tell us which march you're going to be attending and what you want the world to know via your attendance. And if you're going to carry a sign, we do want your creativity reflected here. Rosie, we already got a tweet from somebody who says, off to D.C. with 10-year-old daughter, my sign, we are not fake news. Hers, don't throw away my shot, which is, of course, a Hamilton reference.
Right.
What are you doing tomorrow?
I'm going to be emceeing the New York sister march of the Women's March here in New York City. I'm really, really happy about my decision. There are a lot of people in my family, a lot of friends who could not afford to go down to D.C. and were very upset that they would not be able to participate. So when the Women's March opened it up to other marches around the nation and also around the world, they were very happy. And so I wanted to march with them.
And what's the central thing that you want people to hear tomorrow?
That it's a community of women coming together for equality. And I really hope that, you know, whether you're a Trump supporter or not, if you're a woman or if you're a man that believes in women's rights and women's equality, please come on down and march with us. You know, I've always stated that my gripe is not against Trump supporters. My gripe is against the new administration and the Congress and their positions in regards to equal pay for equal women, in regards to a women's right to choose, and so on and so forth. So I hope everyone comes down.
Catherine, as chair of the Women's March on New York City, what's going to happen tomorrow?
Yeah, we have so much going on. It's going to be an exciting event. And I second what you say, Rosie, about it's about equality. This is not an anti-Trump march. This is a march for women to come out and men who support women's rights to come out and say, it's our time now. We deserve equality and we're going to get it.
Do you fear specific things from the Trump administration with the Republican Congress with respect to lessening women's equality?
We do. We fear that his cabinet picks have had a history of voting down legislation and funding for laws that help women and help women's rights. So we're afraid that they're going to vote, continue that pattern of voting down legislation.
Rosie, particular fears?
My particular fears is really the equal pay and also women's right to choose. You know, and also education. It's very troublesome to me that Betsy DeVos is being considered to be the Secretary of Education. I am a product of public education. Is our public education great? No, it's not. But just to throw the baby out with the bathwater does not make any type of sense. Privatization of schools, which she is championed for, did not work with our prisons. It's definitely not going to work for our public schools. And the nepotism involved with charter schools are public schools. But when she voted against, when she gave $1.5 million to help the GOP in Michigan, in Detroit, to block oversight, more oversight over charter schools, that is so worrisome. And what is she going to do with the nation? And that is that also deals with women's rights, because women have the children and they bring the children to the school and they worry about, you know, the future of their child and the future of the United States of America.
Catherine, Rosie mentioned abortion rights. You know, there was the controversy with respect to the Washington March, where there were apparently some anti-abortion rights women's groups who are otherwise opposed to Donald Trump, and they wanted a march as a partner organization, and they were denied because they had the wrong position on abortion rights. Is there any such restriction or any such conversation in the New York March?
No, the New York March is a march by the people for the people. We don't have any corporate sponsors. We are open to everybody. Equality is for all. It's not just for people that believe one way or another. We have to respect everybody's rights and everybody's choice.
Jane in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jane.
Hi, good morning.
So you're going to which march tomorrow?
I am getting on the train and going to Washington, although last night I was at the rally around the tower. But yes, I'm making my sign right now.
And it says?
Okay. First of all, my brainstorm was to put it on an old pillowcase because you can hold it over your head and fold it up, and there's no restriction on pillowcase signs. So that I'm trying to promote.
Oh, is there a rule against – sorry, what's the rule? There's a rule against signs?
You can't have any sign on a stick.
On a stick.
You know, any sort of implement, at least the Washington March. There's lots of restrictions. Can't carry a backpack. You have to really be sure to read the rules. So I have a pillowcase sign. One sign says Free Melania, because I'm really concerned about her. I feel like she's being held hostage, and if she's going to be our first lady, she should, you know, get to Washington and stay there. And then the other sign says Stand Up for Reproductive Rights, the other side of the pillowcase.
Thank you very much. Kirsten in Washington Heights. You're on WNYC. Hi, Kirsten.
Good morning.
So which march are you going to?
I'm going to be going to the New York March tomorrow morning.
Yay. Woohoo!
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm actually marching with my sangha of Zen practitioners. There's actually a large Buddhist group throughout the nation that is also marching. I know from the Buddhist perspective, the main issue is climate change. From my perspective, it's just knowing your rights, because I think that, you know, I do actually hope all the best for the new administration. I'm a fierce patriot, and I love our country dearly.
But what does all the best for the new administration means? Somebody said to me the other day, well, I didn't vote for Trump, but he's our president, so I hope he succeeds. But if succeeds means enacting policies that you think would be bad for the country, then what does that mean?
Yeah, precisely. Well, for me, it's more that he's just not prepared. I mean, honestly, my first choice was Hillary, my second choice was Kasich. I'm a registered independent voter. Uh-huh. I was raised Republican. It's more that he's grossly unqualified for this position, and then the cabinet that he's now appointing in Congress is very disturbingly allowing to go through quite unvetted in a number of ways, not just in the hearings, but also personally, really is setting our democracy up for failure. So when I say I wish them all the best, I do hope that this is, and I don't mean to be hyperbolic, I have a higher education in these issues, which I'm very blessed to have. But when I look at history, not just American history, but global history, and I look at how democracies have ended in the past, without being hyperbolic, I do believe we are setting ourselves up for a failure. And that is why I'd say I wish them the best, because I love our country.
And I see you told my screener you have a sign.
Yeah. I'm actually looking for good ideas. Still, the best that I have right now is just know your rights. Because what's especially one of my big concerns is what's happening with the press right now. I believe a free press and a close press corps to the president is very important this form of checks and balances, especially with the incoming administration. And I feel that people don't really understand their rights. And, I was listening earlier, and I'm very heartfelt for a lot of the people that did vote for Trump. But as I'm listening, I feel very blessed to have my education, because I felt like we are woefully uneducated about how our government system works. And we don't know our rights. So know your rights.
And I'm going to move on, but thank you so much. Know your rights. You two are both nodding in the studio. What do you want to say, Rosa?
Well, I want to say that not only know your rights, but also know how government works, what she also stated. You know, that Congress holds a lot of power right now. And if we put pressure on our representatives to make sure that the correct policies are ushered through, or their agenda is not ushered through, we can have the power to change that. And people don't believe that. But you know what? This election should have taught everybody that we all must participate and not sit on the sidelines anymore. Call. If you need those information, you could go to congress.gov or senate.gov. Find out who your elected officials are, especially in Congress, and make sure, hold them accountable. Make sure that the policies and the agenda of the White House administration, the current one, does not go through.
Jeremiah and Chelsea, with a suggestion from his 12-year-old niece for a sign. Do I have that right, Jeremiah?
Yes. I couldn't decide what I wanted to put on my own sign. And my 12-year-old niece, who lives in Louisiana with my sister, her mother, they wanted to go to the march in D.C. but couldn't go. So I thought I'd ask her what she would have put on a sign if she was going.
And it says?
And she said she would say, "Make America Think Again." Ooh. And she gave me another one. So I was going to have both signs say different things, both sides of the same sign say different things. She had a quote from Malala, "Be peaceful and love everything."
Jeremiah, thank you very much. You got a good 12-year-old niece there. Let's see, another one coming in on Twitter. "Taking the 1 a.m. bus out of Williamsburg, headed to D.C. with my sisters. Sign reads, tiny hands, tiny heart, tiny mind." Julia, on I-95, heading toward the D.C. march. Julia, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thank you. Tell us why you're going. What do you want the world to know?
Well, I'm going particularly because I'm in a very weird position as both a student and a teaching fellow. I go to CUNY Graduate Center, where I'm working on my doctorate, and I will be teaching in the undergraduate CUNY system in September. And while I think there will be many difficult occurrences in the coming years, I think we really have to stand in solidarity now, both for the right of higher education to have informed, realistic dialogue about what is going on. We can't exist in an echo chamber. So I think that's one of the reasons I'm going, is to stand up for the democratic process in all of its various forms, both the right for the peaceful transfer of power to happen and for peaceful protests to take place. I think it's about accountability, showing the new government that we will not be complacent, as I think we have been in the past, and also standing up for women. Though I am a minority in a male-dominated profession, I am a white woman, so I do have some privilege, and I think it's important to check that privilege and make sure that you are out there in solidarity with women who in the past were not able to express their voice, and also minorities today who feel disenfranchised and forgotten in our system.
And you have a sign by any chance?
I do. My sign does say "Pussy Grab Back," and the back of it will say "Ivory Tower, Please Let Your Hair Down." I think we have a really important position, even though it's vilified in the media. I think we can be an actors of change if we listen to our students, if we include that dialogue and real argument and real information in this new transition. And I think that as a woman, I hope I can bear that torch proudly, and I hope that I can be a voice for all of my friends back home who weren't able to make it, and for all the women in the past who weren't able to go before.
Julia, thank you so much for calling us. Drive safe down there. Rosie, she mentioned the diversity of the march, and there was some, there were some issues with intersectionality and whether the march was going to be too dominated by upper middle class white women and things like that. That's about the D.C. march, not the New York march, which you're going to. But how do you feel about that having become a problem at this particular moment?
You know what I feel, honestly? I think that what the mayor said earlier on your show of take your worry and turn it into action. And I think that's what has happened. I think that everyone just sees doom and gloom around this election, around this new presidency. I think that it's the greatest time. Earlier, you were stating how exciting it is because it has galvanized women across nation, across the world. And it really doesn't matter if you're white, if you're black, if you're Hispanic. Just show up. Just show up. And to concentrate just on that, I think that it does us a disservice of all the women that are coming to the march. I really believe that. And in New York, just the march last night really showed the diversity that exists here in our city. And I hope that it does show up also in Washington, D.C. But that's not the point. The point is about equality for women and making sure that women's issues are respected and acknowledged and pushed through in the correct way with this new administration.
And Catherine, when you said before that the march in New York City is four things, for equality and other positive things, but it's not a march against Trump. We got some pushback on Twitter from a listener who says, Ms. Semyonko, of course we march four things, but yeah, against Trump.
Yeah, no, I did not vote for Trump. My family did. But I will say what we're marching for is to remind this incoming cabinet that they report to the people. And the people are now realizing that that's the fact. They're coming out, they're marching, and they're saying, this is what we want, this is what you're going to give us, and we will take to the streets every day until we get it. So this is a very exciting time.
Yes, and Michael Moore pointed out something very important last night at the New York protest rally, that you know, everyone says, oh, 3 million more people did not vote for Trump. Well, he said, actually, 3 million plus 7 million, because the independent voters and the other type of voters, the Green Party voters, they also did not vote for Trump. So we do have the majority. We do have the majority voice of America, despite what social media may try to tell us. you know, so we really have to stand firm in our numbers.
Yeah, and if I may, just one more point. This is now the time for the people to stay together and say, it doesn't matter who's in office, we are going to tell them what to do.
We're just about out of time. For listeners who are interested, I want to tell you that Andrea Bernstein and I will be co-anchoring an hour of live special coverage of the marches tomorrow, particularly because the march in Washington is expected to be the biggest protest in Washington in a long time. We will do an hour of live special coverage at noon tomorrow that Andrea Bernstein and I will be anchoring. If you're planning to go, we'll have reporters out there covering the march in D.C., reporters out here covering the march in New York. Find them, and maybe you can get on the air yourself between noon and 1, but we will do that hour of special coverage from noon until 1 tomorrow. And Catherine Semyonko, since you're the chair of the Women's March on New York City, go ahead and tell people, if you'd like to, what the logistics are for tomorrow.
Sure. So please visit our website, womensmarchonnyc.com, for staggered start times. We're doing start time by last name because we're expecting a significant amount of people in a space that fits about 8,000. So please adhere to your start time. We do have an art community art project and an activist fair as well. We'll have the rally 10:45 to noon. The first march kicks off at noon, and then every 15 minutes we'll release another segment of the march until 5 o'clock.
From Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza?
From Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza, that's correct.
At the UN.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Catherine Semyonko, chair of the Women's March on New York City, and Rosie Perez, artist and community activist. And I'm sorry, you had a title with the New York March too. What was that?
I will be emceeing the event tomorrow.
So where will you be? Where will your stage be?
The stage?
It'll be in Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza on the southernmost wall.
And who else can we expect to hear from the stage besides Rosie as she MCs?
You'll have to wait for our Twitter feeds to release those.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Thank you both very much for
coming.
Thank
you. It's a
pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next. We will talk up to the inauguration itself, with the oath of office expected in about 15 minutes. James Fallows, former presidential speechwriter himself, and Atlantic Magazine national correspondent, will be my partner for that. Stay with us.